Network.
And I fell heavy into your arms.
The Heat are so concerned about their situation in the NBA Finals, we had to have an EAS test before we brought on Michael DeLeon of ProjectSpurs.com.
And everything appears to be in working order now.
Whoop, this is not a drill. Whoop, this is not a drill. The Heat are in deep beep. Let's bring Michael in now on the Revolution Hotline right here in the Fury Electric Studios. Michael, welcome. How are you?
Doing great.
I'm sorry, Michael. I think we've got an iffy connection. Try me one more time.
Oh, I did great after last night's win.
Oh, there we go. Now you sound fantastic. Yeah, I would think all smiles down in down in San Antonio right now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's pretty happy. Everybody was already honking their horns last night. So San Antonio's celebration, even though there's still one more win to go.
No overturned cars, you know, after the third win, right? They'll wait till the fourth win, maybe.
That happens in Italy. Yeah, that's right.
So tell me about ProjectSpurs.com and exactly what your role is with that and what the website does.
I'm the founder and managing editor, and you know, basically we just cover the Spurs pretty much all season long throughout the offseason. We have three different guys, including myself, cover the finals, and you know, we just try to bring fresh content every day, about anywhere from 5 to 6 posts on the Spurs, and try to bring the latest stuff for readers and fans.
So my first question is not about the game last night. While it was a great performance by the Spurs, especially from the floor, the way they shot it, but it's about covering Popovich and how entertaining that has to be on a weekly basis.
Yeah, that's just I just love seeing which attitude he's going out with. Sometimes after a win, he's just so relaxed and he's so friendly and he's just joking around. After losses, that's a different story. You know, it's almost like he keeps everybody at arms, makes everyone afraid to answer questions, which is the crazy thing. You have all these professional reporters, and everyone's like, should I ask a question or not? You know, it's like, it's going to get thrown back in my face or not. That's, you know, it's pretty funny to see just some of the responses he comes up with. It's just pretty crazy, but it all depends on how he's feeling that day.
I read a story about a hockey writer who was covering John Tortorella, the now fired coach of the New York Rangers, and he seems to be somewhat of the same kind of coach as Popovich as far as dealing with the media. And he said he was so frightened to ask a question, it took him a week and a half before he finally gathered up the courage, because he didn't want to be one of those guys who just let everybody else ask the questions. How long was it until you asked your first question from Popovich? Do you remember the question, and do you remember if you were shaking?
I'd probably have to say yes to all three of those. It was a few years. Let's see, I started covering the Spurs back in 1999 for
I think Popovich just cut off his phone.
Yeah, didn't want him talking about it. Let's try that again, because that was an iffy connection anyway. A couple of sound bites from last night, and again, congratulations to the Spurs. They did what they had to do, because I think, again, very little chance of doing anything beyond this if they didn't win last night. Big decision by Popovich was to start Manu Ginobili, who's been very effective coming off the bench, as a starter less effective coming off the bench, but as a starter last night, he was quite spectacular. Well, Danny Green has also been fantastic as well, and broke a record for the most three-pointers made in NBA Finals. He breaks Ray Allen's record, who was sitting over there on the Heat bench watching it all take place.
After the game today, I found out, you know, I'm, you know, lucky enough, blessed enough to have the opportunity to be on the stage. I said my teammates, I owe it all to my teammates. They've done a great job with finally, and games, everything is going right for me. So, you know, I'm feeling truly blessed right now. The basketball guys are in our favor. I usually don't look at the defenders as much when I'm raising up. If you're looking at the defender when you're shooting, you probably have a lower percentage of making it. But it is fun for it to go in and see, you know, the team's reaction sometimes, depending on, you know, the time point in the game. If we need it, if it gives us a boost, or we need help, or it puts us on a run, it definitely feels good to give our team that momentum.
Danny Green, 8 of 15 from the floor, 6 of 10 from beyond the arc last night, 24 points to match Ginobili, although they were led last night by Tony Parker's 26, who was, how about 10 of 14 from the floor if you need a little Frenchman? That's pretty saucy.
Amazing. You know, didn't these guys get rested quite a bit in this season in front of everyone?
Yeah, exactly. I wonder when he's
playing out in front of everyone now.
Yeah, but I wonder when he's getting fined and resting off, guys, in November, is it paying off in June? I don't know.
He can point to that and say maybe. I don't know if whatever happens in November rest-wise pays off in the middle of June. But, you know, maybe it does. Maybe it gathers up. Maybe there's an aggregate of rest that pays off if you didn't play the full season.
Well, there's not been much rest for the starters for the Heat, and they did not play especially well last night, although Dwayne Wade had an excellent game. LeBron James only 8 of 22 from the floor. I thought they did a good job defensively on him, 25 points for him, 8 assists, and he did have 4 steals. Also had 3 turnovers and only 6 rebounds, which, again, that's a good solid effort, I guess. But didn't get much help elsewhere. Dwayne Wade did have 10 assists to go with 25 points, and Bosch was good, 16 and 6 for him as far as points and rebounds. But the rest of the team, pretty much of a stinker. Their bench did not give him much of anything last night. And, you know, Ray Allen was the only other guy that showed up. It was basically the big three and then Ray Allen and then nobody else did much. I mean, they're just getting the contributions in different ways. Whether it's and a lot of it's really defensively, but I think that the bench guys for the Spurs have been so good defensively, you know, the way that Diaz played and, you know, and Splitter, of course, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what his role is, but he definitely can eat some time for him. But they're more effective with Ginobili in the starting lineup, I would say. Let's bring Michael back in here. Michael.
Yes.
There we go.
That was a CIA pop move or something. I don't know.
Yes, they're watching us all. They don't want you to talk about it too much. But
I'll say this. I think San Antonio, I've had some trouble with cell phones out there before.
Yeah.
I think it's a problem in the city.
Well, we were talking about the win, obviously, and the performance by, you know, the starters last night, including Ginobili, and then it was almost lost to me that Parker had 26 because Ginobili's performance was so fantastic. But, you know, the thing that stood out to me, too, is we've been looking at turnovers all series long, Michael, and the fact that the Spurs seem to have a very difficult time staying in the game when they turn the ball over a lot. Well, last night they turned it over 18 times and they win by 10. So, I guess it can all be covered up when you shoot it well.
Yeah, I mean, when you have Danny Green breaking records on shooting that well from outside, and, you know, Monica actually got all, I think they had, most of those starters had scored in double figures. Kawhi Leonard was in there as well. That's one of the things that about last year's team I noticed, and this is a little bit more, but that offense is really balanced. It's no longer just one guy or two guys. You go to, you know, any number of players can come in and take over scoring or help. And so I think when they have that point, it's in previous games when they lost, it's been turnovers, but then they've also had some, you know, getting the ball in the hoop. Jordan Parker, you know, had a bad game. Tim Duncan has been mostly really good this series, but he's had one game where he was so great. And they just weren't all clicking. That helped.
Yeah, definitely. What's the talk on next year? I mean, we're still trying to get to this series, I realize, but what's, you know, there's an expectation thing for some people that there may be a retirement or two along the way from these guys. Any clear-cut answers on that for you guys?
You know, Tim Duncan, I think if they end up winning, I mean, I don't know how else he would go out. I mean, he's definitely still in great shape and he can still play, but, you know, defending a title would be tough, and winning and retiring like David Robinson did, I think, would be the best situation for him, and something that he definitely think about. Donovan Ginobili talked about retiring, but he also said that he can't see himself not playing one more year. So, you know, if anything, I think it might be Duncan if they win.
Well, Ginobili played great last night. Again, we talked a lot about the points, but also 10 assists from him last night. So just a great performance. What's the consensus down there? Everybody feeling pretty good right now?
Yeah, I mean, it seems so. I mean, they've got to leave going to Miami, and the Spurs have not had any problems closing out on the road. They've had to do that every series so far. So, you know, everyone sort of thinks that, you know, six seems to be the one. You know, they see that the Spurs will close on six and not have to play for game seven. But after last night, you know, a lot of questions were answered. Manu, when you come back and play the way where you put Manu, Danny Green, you know, kind of continue this clutch performance and hit all these threes, Duncan inside, can they defend well enough on LeBron? And, you know, I think they answer all those questions and they can. It's just they have to continue that and try to limit the turnovers, and I think they'll be good for game six.
All right, well, Michael, we appreciate the time. ProjectSpurs.com is the website. If you are a Spurs fan here in Central Arkansas and want to follow along, or just want to feel a little more connected to the NBA Finals, that's a good way to do it. Michael, we appreciate it. Take care, and good luck to the
Thank
Spurs.
You.
Thank you. Thanks, man. Yeah, I think they're, again, they're the sentimental pick, and whether it's an anti-LeBron pick or it's a pro-Tim Duncan and Spurs, and I mean, they're just so businesslike, and I love the way they bring their – they're much more consistent from a performance standpoint. They seem to be there every game, where the Heat sort of – it seems like they flip it off and on. It's really weird.
The Spurs kind of remind me of those late 90s Yankees, very businesslike, very professional, you know, very buttoned down. Shaved, you know, no facial hair at all. Just kind of not the lunch pail kind of like, you know, punch the clock, go to work sort of a team, but just the very, I guess, the high level executive sort of a team.
There you go.
That's what I got from the Yankees, where you just expected them, and this is the late 90s Yankees, not this Yankees or even most recent Yankees. The team that you expected to show up and do everything they needed to do to win, and do it mostly in a quiet way. Because that's the way the Spurs are. They just there really isn't a lot of outward look at me flash, and I don't know if the Heat necessarily are that, you know, look at me sort of flash, but they're definitely flashier.
I don't know what Spolster said to the team before the game last night, but the pregame speech that they aired on ABC last night was the one from LeBron James. Meanwhile, for the Spurs, the pregame speech was made by Popovich. That told me a lot. Now, there may have been a speech by Spolster. I'm sure he ran on at the mouth about something. I still can't buy into that whole deal.
Can you imagine the reaction when he goes and gives one of those?
We did talk to an insider last week from Miami, though, and he said that his regard with the team and the general public has gone up over the last, I don't know, but maybe when it came. All I knew is about the second half of the first quarter, I saw LeBron and the rest of the Heat settling for jump shots, and I knew they were in trouble. And at the end of the day, the Spurs outscore them 50-40 as far as points on the paint. That's a huge key for see, to me, that's my deal. And it's oversimplified, because if you shoot 60%, everything else doesn't matter. If you shoot 60%, you're going to win.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't expect them to do the game, but the thing for them is they got to take care of the ball to San Antonio. For Miami, they've got to be aggressive and get points in the paint. That's how they win. So when they settle for jump shots, they're probably not winning. I mean, Ray Allen's the only guy they got that's a knockdown shooter right now.
It's the same story against Indiana. You know, and they're settling for jump shots. They got beat up in the paint. They didn't win.
Here's LeBron. Then we got to take a timeout.
The most important game is Game 6, and we can't worry about Game 7. We have to worry about Game 6 and going back home, being confident about our game, being confident about getting a win, which we are. So, you know, it is what it is, and you know, we got a Game 6 on our home floor. I have to come up big, for sure, in Game 6, but I believe we all have to play at a high level in order to keep the series going. So, you know, me being one of the leaders of this team, I do put a lot of pressure on myself to force a Game 7, and I look forward to the challenge.
Indeed. Game balls and jockstraps coming up. Also,